Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Yes, indeed. Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, August 2nd. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of the Bishop, St. Eusebius of Vercelli. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. A special welcome to all of our new listeners tuning in on KLFEA. Relevant Radio 1590 in Seattle, Washington. Welcome aboard and welcome to the Relevant Radio family. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And of course, our email is morningair@relevantradio.com. Want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what are a few of the stories making headlines on this Tuesday morning?
One of the architects of the 9/11 attacks on New York City, Washington, and more, my goodness, was taken out by a drone strike in Kabul, Afghanistan. Ayman al-Zawahiri killed, an announcement made last night by President Biden, John.
Glenn, what kind of a message do you think that this sends to the world, that after all these years, the mastermind of 9/11 was taken out?
Well, I suppose the pursuit of justice never stops. It took quite a while, of course, but along with Osama bin Laden, al-Zawahiri, the brains behind 9/11, the leader of al-Qaeda after the death of bin Laden, and the U.S. got him. News reports say the CIA was involved. It was a drone strike at a safe house that wasn't so safe after all in downtown Kabul, Afghanistan. No U.S. troops on the ground involved with that one.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi landed in Malaysia this morning with continued tensions rising over her possible Taiwan visit. What is the latest, Glenn?
Plane expected to land tonight, which will be not too long from now in Taiwan, and reportedly as part of that Southeast Asian visit for Nancy Pelosi, the third ranking leader in the U.S. in terms of presidential succession. The Chinese have threatened again and again. They don't like this, at one point threatening to shoot down her plane. The U.S., partly due to regular military operations in the area, does have an aircraft carrier, the USS Ronald Reagan, in the area, well-equipped with fighter jets and much more to escort her plane. So we'll see what happens. We hope it's just Chinese bluster, John.
Hopefully so, and we obviously pray for the safety of the Speaker of the House, as you mentioned, third in line in our government. It's somewhat of a concerning situation, especially with the type of rhetoric coming out of the Chinese leadership.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like great rhetoric in a civilized world to be doing that. So we hope nothing happens.
We hope so. Meanwhile, on a lighter note, today is National Night Out Day. What in the world is that?
Well, it's been going on for several years now. It's variously called National Night Out or Night to Unite, but it's an idea to, make neighborhoods more friendly, kind of counter crime by getting neighbors to know one another. So many neighborhoods will have people getting together in front or backyards, inviting other neighbors over and getting to meet one another, maybe leaving porch lights on from 5 to 9 is generally a common time, local time, that this happens for folks. A lot of interaction with first responders, too, fire trucks or police vehicles coming by for kids getting a chance to interact a little bit. And, for our neighborhood, it's kind of just like an average Tuesday night, but we do have some plans. I'll be grilling up some brats and hot dogs in the back. Some neighborhood pools will be open, and we might get sprayed by the fire truck as well.
Sarah, any plans?
Well, this is the first I'm hearing about, but this sounds like a great idea because, you know, that really is the big key in all the misconceptions we have about one another. We see maybe a sign or a flag that's hanging near someone's house, and we just automatically go to, well, they're our friend or they're our foe, right? But this is an example of when we get to talk and hang out and share a brat and get sprayed by the fire hose that we realize that really we have a lot more in common than we have against each other, and that breaks down a lot of barriers. So I'm very happy that that's tonight.
And it reminds me of earlier times, a time when people actually knew their neighbors, not so much in today's day and age.
Yeah, sometimes you kind of just get so, you know, I'm going here, I come back to the house, close the garage door or whatever, and you kind of get in your little routine and you forget that, like, yeah, you could say hi to the neighbors, you could maybe, ooh, heaven forbid, have a conversation with them instead of just, you know, sometimes you just have the little fingers that wave out and say, oh, hey, you know, a head nod, but to say a little bit more than that, and then you get to know each other, and it's always good to bring the community together.
Absolutely. As always, Sarah and Glenn, thanks so much. First things first, we begin every show, every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. As Catholic Christians, we need to always be prepared to give a reasoned explanation for what we believe and why we believe it. There will be situations where someone asks you, why do you believe that Mary is the Mother of God, or that the Eucharist is more than just a mere symbol? We need to be able to be ready to give an answer with charity and clarity, with gentleness and respect from whoever challenges us about our Catholic faith. Know your faith, know what scripture, tradition, the catechism teaches, but always do it with respect. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. And now it's time for another Tech Tuesday. Last Thursday, Apple said part shortages are easing and that demand for iPhones is unceasing, despite consumers tightening other spending, helping it top Wall Street expectations and forecasts faster sales growth ahead. Joining us live is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, with much more on the latest with Apple. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20-plus years of technology, new products, development experience, and for all things faith and tech, you can always follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tech Tuesday. Great to be with you once again.
Great to be here. Thanks, John.
Hey, Mark, tell us what is going on with Apple. How have they been doing here in fiscal third quarter?
They just posted their earnings from this last quarter, and these are some big numbers. And what they tell us is something not just about the products that they manufacture, but the overall tech consumer and potentially even some macro things. I'm not an economist. I'll start by saying that. I just play one on the radio. But it does tell us some interesting trends in technology, and I think there's some things that we can learn from this information. So the revenue that Apple earned in one quarter, in a three-month period, not during a major product launch, 6 months away from that next cycle, was $83 billion. $83 billion. And that's up 2% year over year. So what technology companies are facing in 2022 is that many people in 2020 really stepped up their technology purchases in order to stay in contact with each other, in order to stay in contact with their jobs if they had the opportunity to work remote, and to communicate with their friends and family through better, more robust home laptops and smartphones. So this is an indication that some buyers are still buying even with fresh devices in their household from 2 years ago. What kind of devices, you might ask? Well, if you look a little deeper, the iPhone revenue is the peak of their earnings. Of the $83 billion that they made in a three-month span, $40.67 billion came from iPhones.
And it's a lot of iPhones, Mark.
You bet. And when Apple makes money off of an iPhone, this isn't secondary market or someone passing an iPhone to their kids or a relative. This is iPhones that are sold in stores or directly through Apple themselves, which also means the latest generations. The last three generations are always available for sale. When the new ones come out, iPhone 14 is scheduled to come out in September, 1 month away. And the iPhone 13s and 12s that are still available for sale are still selling very well. Well, what does that tell us even further? It also says that the buyers of the highest end devices are the ones who are driving these sales. And what that also says is that the people with the money in their pockets, over $1,000, or spread over 2 years if you purchase a new device through a carrier, the higher end folks in our economy are doing just fine, and kind of the fuel to this engine. If you look down through the information, Macs, their desktop and laptop computers, did not do as well. That is expected by me, maybe not by analysts, but because of that 2020 effect, if you bought a major computer for your home or home office or office, you might not need one in 2022. iPad revenue was good at $7.22 billion, and that is a good indicator that the tablet infusion into schools and to students and teachers continues to grow. The 2% increase year over year in iPads shows that continued trend. It does seem like these numbers tell us a bit of a story. The highest end folks in our economy around the world and here in the U.S. are doing most of the buying.
Well, this reporter is one of the customers. I finally, after months and months of thinking about it, bought an iPhone 13 a while back. And I got to tell you, Mark, I'm super happy with the performance and the camera, and the photos, the videos. They're wonderful. So, it's been a wonderful thing.
Yeah, the people who are making those leaps are enjoying the ecosystem. When you are in that Apple ecosystem, after not having been a part of it, you do see the design of the experience, the user experience, is one of Apple's strengths. You turn it on, and the phrase is, it just works. It finds your Wi-Fi. It connects to your home networks. It finds its other Apple siblings nearby, like earphones and other Bluetooth devices. So that's one thing that they do quite well. And what does it portend for what's coming soon? What we're curious about is, will Apple announce virtual reality goggles in their September announcement? Some experts are split. About half of the experts say it's just too tight of a recession kind of economic environment to announce a big new bell and whistle kind of device like a virtual reality headset. Others are saying this is the perfect time because it shows they're continuing to keep their foot on the gas pedal for research and development and new products.
Mark, how have the parts shortages that have affected a lot of companies, how have they affected Apple recently?
That's an interesting story within the story, John, because recently, in the last 2 years, Apple has shifted to their own chips. Chips are a big story in our country these last couple weeks and last couple months. The highest end chips, the most sophisticated, the most powerful, are the ones that Apple makes themselves. They've partnered with, they don't fabricate their own chips, but they've partnered with the most powerful manufacturers of chips in the world to produce their very high end, high design, tiny footprint microchips. So by controlling more of their own supply chain, they are less likely to be disrupted in these, as we're coming out of supply chain shortages here mid-2022, which brings about another story from this past week, which is the passing of the CHIPS Act. $53 billion, not quite as much money as Apple made in a three-month span, but still a very large number. $53 billion was passed by the U.S. House and Senate to further enable manufacturing of high-end microchips here in the United States of America. Well, we have these companies like Qualcomm and Intel and others here in the United States. Why do we need this? Well, though I'm mentioning people whose strengths are design. Apple designs their own chips. Intel and Qualcomm mostly design their own chips. And all of these companies are saying, in the interest of U.S. national security, it's a good idea to manufacture chips here in the United States of America. The catchphrase that's been on lots of TV and radio is, if it's got an on-off switch, it needs a microchip. Now, the biggest shortages for automotive and appliances and a lot of things over these last 2 years are not the kind of high-end, sophisticated chips that Apple designs and manufactures through Taiwan Semiconductor. They tend to be the more straightforward, simple microchips that are needed for single function and single purpose. So that's going to be interesting to see this play out. Will we be beefing up our manufacturing of the most sophisticated kind of chips that are found in smartphones and computers, or the more straightforward and single-purpose chips like those in cars?
Mark, the legislation passed in both the House and the Senate. It sure looks like President Biden is going to sign it.
Very likely. It's got a lot of baggage. It took a while. It's been a hot news story. I'm not an economist, and I'm also not a politician. I don't get wrapped up in those details, but it is interesting, I think, for technology, from a Catholic technology perspective, having this kind of manufacturing here in the United States is a good idea, as good of a good idea as having our own steel production and farming, right? This is that kind of investment. We want to be able to not rely on other countries outside of our borders if we need to manufacture. Our designing of chips is not really that much of a threat. We have plenty of great companies here in the U.S. who can design chips. But the manufacturing of those chips, that's where we need the extra help.
Because in so many ways, we've been relying primarily on China in recent years. So it's about time that we do it ourselves.
Yeah. Taiwan Semiconductor is one of the biggest manufacturers on Earth. Over 50% of the most sophisticated devices are manufactured by Taiwan Semiconductor and their facilities, mostly in Taiwan. So, yes, it is a good idea for us to have our own capabilities.
What are some of the current chip challenges here in this country?
As I mentioned, I think the interesting thing is designers... For those out there looking for great ideas on careers for your for yourself, for your kids, for your grandkids. Semiconductor design and manufacturing are excellent jobs. These are the brains that make our technologies work. The way that John and I are communicating to each other now relies on thousands of chips. And so if anyone sees themselves or their kids or their grandkids interested in Legos and robotics and these kinds of things, engineering is a growing, booming industry, not just software engineering, which we've talked about here on this show, very in demand. There are 5 jobs open still for every person seeking a job in software engineering. But in addition to software engineering, there's software running on all of these hardware devices all around our home, all around our businesses, in our cars. And that is a trend that looks to be up and to the right, if you're plotting it on a graph with the x-axis of time. So, take a look at manufacturing and designing of these chips. It's very cool to zoom in down to 20, 30, even 7, 5, or 3 nanometers, the head. If you take one of your hairs and look at the end of it, you look at it from the end of the tip, that's 3 nanometers in diameter. So it's tiny microscopic circuits that are allowing these electronics to function.
Tremendous description. It's hard to even imagine. Well, Mark, as always, thanks so much for your perspective and your expertise on yet another Tech Tuesday.
May God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Many blessings to you. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. We need to take a short break when we come back. Political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles, will give us his take on President Biden's actions in a post-Roe America. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
This is Morning Air.
Muy buenos dias. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. Now, a recent New York Times Siena College poll last month has revealed that a whopping 64% of Democratic voters don't want President Joe Biden to run again in 2024. His overall approval rating has plunged to just 33%. So the question is, why is that? And what are some of the actions our Catholic president has taken post-Roe? Listen to part of a report from NBC News.
As many Democrats plead for a fighter, President Biden is pointing out the limits of his power.
I'm just stating a basic fundamental notion. The fastest way to restore Roe is to pass a national law codifying Roe.
After signing an executive order on access to abortion medication and emergency contraception.
If you want to change the circumstances for women and even little girls in this country, please go out and vote.
And that is our Catholic president. Now joining us live from Washington, D.C. for a Catholic perspective on President Biden's actions in a post-Roe America is attorney and political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Alfonso is a frequent guest on Fox News, MSNBC, Telemundo, Univision, and CNN in Español, and he's published opinion columns in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and of course is a regular contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Alfonso. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning. How are you? Happy to be with you.
Great to be with you. Doing well. Alfonso, why do you think that our President Biden's approval ratings have been so low, plunging down to 33% in this recent poll, so low that even Democrats don't want him to run again for president?
Well, I think people are frustrated. They, in every area, they see that the economy is not doing well. primarily the economy. We have inflation out of control. We haven't seen this in 40 years. Gas prices going up as well. So the cost of living is going up. Crime is rampant in urban centers. We've seen an incredible increase in murder, in violent crimes. The border is totally out of control. You know, people saw the chaotic exit from Afghanistan. And I must say that it was after the terrible exit from withdrawal from Afghanistan, totally botched, that his numbers started to go down, and they've continued to go down. So I think they feel that the president is doing a very poor job. And I think another thing that contributes to those numbers is that the depression is not being transparent. We've just entered a recession. If we follow the usual formula of 2 quarters of negative growth, that's a recession. Well, the White House says, no, we're not in a recession. You know, the border is out of control, and the administration says, no, but we have control of the border. You know, it's those type of things that the American people don't appreciate. They want transparency, they want honesty, and they feel this president is not being honest. So it's a combination of a poor performance and just not being transparent. So I think people are very frustrated. And at the same time that all of this is happening, they feel that instead of the president focusing on the real challenges facing America, economic challenges, foreign policy challenges, security challenges, the president's focusing on advancing a radical agenda, promoting abortion, as you just mentioned in your clip there, how the president, you know, after the Dobbs case, is wants to codify Roe, wants to continue to promote abortion. How he is committed to promoting a radical LGBT agenda that undermines religious freedom. So instead of real focusing on the real issues facing the country, he's focused on pushing this radical ideological agenda.
Do you think that the actions from yesterday of killing one of the masterminds of the 9/11 attack with a U.S. strike, do you think that that makes any difference in the perception of the American public?
Well, you know, those are a couple of things that the American people, you know, support. I must say, life is life. It's still a human being, right? And we certainly pray for his soul. But this was a very evil person. So I think it's necessary. I think, you know, it's one of those things that may have, in terms of his overall approval rating, it may help a little bit. But, you know, I think at the end, people look at at what's happening at home in their communities. And they're not happy. So at the end, I don't think it's going to have a great deal of impact coming the midterm elections and in terms of the president's overall approval rating.
What about the president's age? Mr. Biden, who is 79, is already the oldest serving president in American history. He continues to say that he plans to run again in 2024. Is this realistic, or do you think he's going to step down?
Well, you know, it's not only his age; it's that he doesn't seem to be well. His you know, cognitive capabilities seem to be diminished. But you know, nobody's allowed to ask that question in the White House press room. If asked, you know, they're going to say that the president's in great health, but. You know, I don't know about that. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical expert. But you know, everybody sees him on television, and I think people I think the polls show that the American people are concerned about his health. So, you know, I think that may be a factor also in his approval rating. I don't think people see a healthy president, somebody who's really focused, who can give replies that are clear, that can reassure the country. So I think that's a factor as well. You know, we really don't know how his health is. And but yes, he keeps telling everybody that he plans to run for re-election. So I don't see, even though there's so many Democrats who would like to see somebody else run as the nominee of their party, I just don't see how, if he continues to say that he wants to run, I don't see how he can be replaced as the nominee of the Democratic Party if he continues if he has that intent to be the nominee. So it's possible that they may end up highly likely that they may end up with Joe Biden as their nominee.
Alfonso, it's really interesting. According to this New York Times poll, opposition against President Biden from within his own Democratic Party is really strong, especially under people that are under 30 years old, with 94% saying they want someone else to be the nominee for the 2024 presidential election. I mean, those are huge numbers.
No, it's certainly, we haven't seen anything like this. His approval rating is historically low, and even with communities that they need to win in the midterm elections, for example, the Hispanic community. The latest Quinnipiac poll, I think from 2 weeks ago, has Biden's approval rating with Hispanics at 19%. That's a historic low for a Democrat. So he's in really bad shape with voters from his party, with communities that traditionally have voted in big numbers for the Democratic Party. So they're in bad position for the midterms and yes, definitely for 24. But again, they are frustrated, but how do they replace the president if he says he wants to run? If his intent in doing it, it's going to be very difficult to stop him from becoming the nominee. And then even if he decides to step aside, who is the alternative? Nobody wants Kamala Harris, who's done a very poor job. I think her numbers are even lower than President Biden's. You know, there are rumors now that the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is open to running for president. And, you know, he may be, you know, he was just almost recalled. He's not that popular in California. Is he going to run for president? Can he pull off an election at the national level? I sincerely doubt it. So even if Biden decides to step aside, I don't think they have a candidate that can win. So they're in a very difficult situation, but at the end it's because of policies. When you push bad policies, this are the type of results that you get. And, I just don't see how they get out of this.
Alfonso, you know, polls are polls, and it's still quite early, but there's a new Rasmussen national poll that just came out yesterday that shows President Donald Trump would defeat Biden in a rematch if it was held today. Just 40% of likely U.S. voters would vote to reelect Biden, while 46% would vote for Trump. Another 10% would choose some other candidate in a Biden-Trump rematch. What's your take on this Rasmussen poll?
Well, I mean, it goes to show that in terms of the battle of ideas, Republicans are winning. People are willing to support Donald Trump because they saw during his administration an economy that was growing at a robust rate, unemployment at a historic low, people getting out of poverty, wages rising, home incomes going up as well. That's what they saw with Donald Trump. And I think that people want to go back to that. And, you know, Democrats continue to make attacking Trump the forefront of their campaign. But I don't think they realize that a lot of people are willing to support Donald Trump because of his ideas and his policies. He was a successful president. He improved the life of Americans. So people want to go back to that. So if Donald Trump is the candidate against President Biden, it shouldn't surprise us. The majority are going to choose Donald Trump.
And obviously, since June 24th, when Roe v. Wade was overturned, the issue of abortion and life has been one of the main issues on the minds of many. I want to talk about our Catholic president's perspective on abortion, but we need to take a short break. Also want to invite our listeners, if you have a question or comment for political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, you can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break as we continue talking with the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles, Alfonso Aguilar. Stay with us. There's much more on the other side.
Wake up, America. It's Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Levitt
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Alfonso, I want to talk about our Catholic president who seems to be obsessed with supporting abortion rights, especially after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade back on June 24th. What is your perspective on this? Can you talk a little bit about some of the actions that Mr. Biden has taken?
Well, first of all, it's very sad that somebody who says is Catholic would do something like this. I think it's a double problem for Catholics and for all Americans. I think first it's bad that he's pushing abortion. Abortion is a terrible evil. And then second, it gives a very bad example that, you know, it gives the impression that you can be Catholic and pro-abortion, and that's not the case. I mean, I cannot judge him, but he certainly, if he's Catholic, a Catholic who's not following Catholic doctrine. Catholic doctrine is very clear that abortion is a great evil, so we have to pray for him. It is very sad that, you know, after Dobbs, he continues to push for abortion. It's very difficult. I don't know how they would codify Roe versus Wade. Remember, Roe basically said that, you know, there was some sort of right to abortion within a right to intimacy in the Constitution. But that was, the court in Dobbs says very clearly that the Constitution doesn't mention abortion, that there's no right to abortion. That can be developed or from the due process clause or that it emanates from the due process clause. And I just don't know how they could codify it. I mean, they could pass some sort of legislation, healthcare legislation, that would provide for funding to abortion. But to establish a right legislatively, I don't think they can. But even if they were to do that, I think it would go to the courts and ultimately to the Supreme Court. So I think the Supreme Court could invalidate that law. But who knows? So I think it's very important that law doesn't pass. But you know, it is just very sad, this effort by Democrats to continue pushing abortion. And, you know, they keep reducing women's health to abortion, obviously promoting, he's already putting in place executive orders to and administrative actions to continue to facilitate chemical abortion. We know that, you know, now the majority of abortions in the United States are chemical. So I think it's important that states take action, pass legislation, to prevent this, to impede chemical abortion. You know, we're in a new chapter. I think the Dobbs decision was very important. We've prayed for this a very long time. But we're in a new chapter in the fight for life. And despite the Democrats' efforts at the federal level, I think this new chapter is going to happen in the states. Some are going to prohibit it. They already have completely. Some are going to limit it greatly. Some, unfortunately, are going to make it even easier than it was under Roe, like California and New York. But this was a very important decision. It's very sad that the president's doing this. But this is another area where in the past we've seen Catholics, the majority of Catholics perhaps support Democrats. I think that we've seen clearly a president who's not supporting life and family and religious freedom. And I think people of Catholics are going to turn on this president as well.
And Alfonso, let's talk about President Biden allowing pregnant, illegal, alien teenagers to be sent to blue states to make sure that their babies are killed in abortions if they want to. What is the thinking of our Catholic president here?
Well, again, it's just very sad. You know, what is the message to women in Latin America and abroad? If you can't get an abortion in your country, come to the U.S. And because the borders are open, I mean, we are, you know, even, you know, people are arriving at the border and they're surrendering freely to border officials because they know that they're going to be detained briefly and let in the country. So not only that, you're going to be able, if you're pregnant and you want an abortion, you'll be detained and sent to a place where you can get an abortion. This is a travesty. It's really a travesty. It's an attack on the dignity of the human person. And we have to react as a country. We're certainly better than this. This cannot continue. This diminishes our nation. And it's sad, again, that it is the Catholic president doing this.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that he's more focused on this than actually securing the border and doing something about this immigration crisis, this humanitarian crisis that we're seeing a ton of so many things going on between fentanyl coming over, you know, all the attacks that are going on
human trafficking.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many different other issues. It's just a nightmare.
It is. And again, this is done in the name of establishing a humane and moral immigration system. To the contrary, we have a border that's out of control. It's not only a national security threat, but we're putting people's lives at risk by encouraging this mass movements of people. It facilitates human trafficking, child trafficking. I think Senator Ted Cruz recently did a video about the trafficking of women through the border and children. It is a travesty of what's happening, and we're facilitating this. This is not humane. This is not moral. So, you know, clearly we are in a nation that where there are some people that have a very warped view of the world, of the human person. It is the consequence of secularization, certainly. We have to recognize this. That's why it's so important for us to re-Christianize America, to you know, leave our faith and encourage others to turn to Christ, because we're seeing some things that you know, even 10 years ago were unthinkable. Yet this administration continues to put to press this agenda. You know, we see with the trans agenda, the you know, what they call trans rights, how he's using Title IX to try to force, you know, the institutions, schools that receive federal funding to accommodate, you know, trans students in their bathroom of preference. Or this is just really crazy. Thank God a federal court stopped that for now. But he continues to push this agenda in every single area. But, you know, as we see that, we also see some good examples of leadership in Florida, certainly Governor DeSantis, who is Catholic, willing to give this cultural battles, willing to push back against some very big interests and very big corporate interests. So we're in a difficult situation, but I think we're called to certainly vote, go out and vote for people who stand for our values, and be involved in our country and try to encourage people to turn to Christ, because that's the only way we're going to save America.
The administration, the White House and the Justice Department met with pro-abortion attorneys just last week. Do you know how that meeting went and what were they trying to do?
No, I haven't seen a readout of that meeting. I know he met with them. They're obviously going to try to be creative in seeing how the federal government can support abortion. I just don't see legislative what alternatives they have. Even in terms of executive action, I don't, if indeed, as the case of Dobbs says, that and the court was very clear that abortion is not in the Constitution, it's not a federal issue, I don't see how the President of the United States can use the pen to push abortion. So they have to be careful. Whatever action they take in that regard will be challenged in court. And so I think that's why they meet with lawyers to figure out how they can push the issue without, a law or executive action being invalidated in the courts.
We've seen that doctors are being forced to do things that go against their conscience. There's attacks on religious freedom right now when it comes to performing abortions and other things.
Yeah, exactly. This is part of the agenda of taking out or limiting fundamental freedoms where people are being forced to accept things that they don't believe. This idea of, again, using federal money to push institutions to accommodate trans people, to, let trans men compete in women's sports. This is pushing this radical agenda. Democrats trying to, push to sexualize children in schools without consulting with parents. Where's the right of parents to teach their children to know what's going on in their lives? So this is a very warped and dangerous agenda.
And Alfonso, final 30 seconds. As Catholics, it's important for us to at least be aware of what is going on in the political world because it does affect our everyday lives.
Absolutely. As I said, we have to be informed. So I appreciate the work that you're doing, that Relevant Radio is doing. But also vote. And get involved, get active. These are not times for passive citizenship. We have to be very involved.
As always, thanks so much for your perspective, Alfonso.
Thank you, John, for having me.
Really appreciate it. Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Real fans of the old TV show Leave It to Beaver saddened by the passing of actor Tony Dow last week. Today's story, Wally and the Beave. Hey, Wally. Yeah, Beave. Hey, Wally. Well, I miss you. I miss you too, Beave. Was it creepy and scary? Aw, heck no, Beave. It was peaceful. What's it like, Wally? Well, it's a lot like Mayfield. Mom and Dad are here. Lumpy. Heck, even that creep Eddie Haskell's here. Really, Eddie got in? Yeah, I guess they took pity on him. There's even a malt shop, and me and Mary Ellen Rogers and all the guys and girls hang out after the Friday night game. You get to play football and basketball, too? Heck yeah, Beave, and the best part is no one gets hurt. Well, gee, Wally, I can't wait to come there. Well, Beaver, you have time, but when you do, Mom, Dad, and me will be waiting. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. I absolutely loved Wally and the Beaver. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will explain how and why evangelization is the loving thing to do. Plus, Catholic apologist William Albrecht will discuss the bodily assumption of Mary as we celebrate the solemnity of the assumption a little bit later this month. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.